Amen. Aren't you grateful that we serve not only a living, but a good God? Thank you, brother. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Thank you for the music. Thank you, brother Timothy. Sometimes we don't know what direction we'll go in moments like that. I appreciate everybody's understanding of it. It's a blessing. When you found your place in Matthew chapter 1, you can go ahead and join me and rise to your feet, and let's honor the public reading of God's Word on this Sunday morning. And I want you to put your full attention and your full mind into it today. If you were with us last week, then you know that we began a short Christmas series, and we titled that series, The News of a Lifetime, to go along with our Christmas program next week, and we'll be preaching through it the next 2 weeks as well, three including today. And we talked about Mary, how Mary's news, it was news that was surprising. Surprise, surprise, surprise. She's going to have a baby, and she didn't understand that. Today I want us to move now to Joseph. When we look at Joseph's life, we see that it was news that was a secret. News that was a secret. And I want to speak to you on this thought today. It was the Christmas secret. Now look back with me, if you would, in verse number 18 of Matthew chapter 1. The Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ is on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was mindful to put her away privately." Now that word privately translated secretive, secretly. It's the Christmas secret. Verse number 20, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins." That's my favorite phrase in the whole Christmas story. And we're going to enlarge on that one next week, God willing. But let me just speak to you for a little while, built around that word privately. The Christmas secret. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I'll fully admit that I am a bit reluctant to even mention anything about the Hallmark Network, about Hallmark Christmas movies, because of the intentional agenda-based direction that they have gone of late. But I'll do so with that particular disclosure. But several years ago, they released a movie, and the movie was called The Christmas Secret. The movie was about a young lady driving to work one day, and another car that was coming toward her had a car accident as a result of a heart attack. It was an older lady that was driving the car, and the younger lady ended up saving the older lady's life. And it was a pretty good movie, and certainly enjoyed it. But that movie, I share that because that movie is a running joke, isn't it, around our house. And the reason for that is because any of you that know me well, you know that I don't do well recognizing people's faces, especially if I have not seen them in quite some time. I just don't recognize faces well. Evidently, super especially if they are an actor or an actress, they change their appearance for everything. I just don't recognize them. It's a running joke in our house, this movie, The Christmas Secret, because every time that I flip through the channels and I come to however long I'm on the Hallmark Network, I look at it, and the actor or the actress, I always ask my wife and two daughters, I said, who is that star? Who is that male star? Who is that female star in this case? And more times than not, all three of my girls will turn and they'll look at me like I am a lunatic and say, "Dad, are you serious? It's the Christmas Secret girl." Same girl that always played it. I honestly do not do that intentionally, but I do not recognize who she is. She evidently played in a lot of their movies because every time I ask, that is the response that I get. Now to me, that is the Christmas Secret, okay? But when we open our Bibles here to the pages of Matthew chapter chapter 1. I tell you, we're finding a glorious passage of Scripture. I mean, some things here that our minds can't even really begin to fathom. For we are learning here that Joseph is hearing about some news of his lifetime. It was news that soon became a secret. Oh, Joseph suddenly found himself in a place in life, listen to me, where he was surrounded by a bunch of people that he felt like he didn't know anymore. People that were close to him, people that were friends of his, people that he was going to marry. He thought he knew them well, but then he's learning some information that he would have never thought would have come. And he's thinking to himself, my goodness, I thought I knew you better than that. And so we are seeing this story that is developing, and I know that it is a familiar story to most of us, maybe all of us here today. But there are a few things that I want to point out to you about this news of a lifetime and how that it was news that was a secret in this Christmas secret. So think with me, first of all, about how we see that it was a secret with difficult comprehension. Now, we're seeing some similarities compared to what we talked about last week and this week with Joseph, last week with Mary. But difficult comprehension. Have you ever had something before that you're just having a hard time processing, having a hard time comprehending? I remember in the moments following the birth of McKenna, and all the process that was involved with that, and those moments that were following, the nurse, Miss Jennifer Martinez, a dear friend of ours, she came up to me and she handed me McKenna and she said, here you go, Dad, hold your daughter. I looked into her eyes at that moment. Here's the first thought come to my mind. I said, what in the world have I gotten myself into? I don't know how to be a dad. I don't understand how to do all this. I could not comprehend and I could not wrap my mind around the news and the evidence that I was a father. And I had a vast responsibility that was laying ahead of me. Now, the responsibility that I had was big. It really was. But it is nothing compared to the responsibility of the news that Joseph is learning that he was going to have. As great as McKenna was and is, I've always known she was not going to be the Messiah. There was never a doubt and never a question in my mind. But when you look at Joseph and the news of a lifetime that he is learning and this news that was secret, think with me about the comprehension that he was trying to think of here. He was contemplating a bunch of things, trying to process it. Look in your Bible, verse number 20. While he thought on these things. I've preached from that phrase before many times, and that to me is one of the most powerful statements in the entire Christmas story. Why? Because it is telling us that old Joseph was serious about the news that he was getting. Sometimes we're just not serious about the good news of God, isn't there? Aren't we? But Joseph here, he was serious about the news he was getting. There is nothing wrong, and we try to always talk about this, there is nothing wrong with us seeking good godly counsel. Nothing wrong with us searching out resources that we can make good decisions when we are faced with those decisions in our lives. But friends, when we find ourselves receiving some news, maybe some news we were not expecting, news we were not prepared for, news that we were not planning, news that we don't know how that we are going to handle, sometimes the best thing that you can do is not seek counsel. It is not to go and look at other resources. It is to run and go get in the very presence of Almighty God, get alone with God, and here's the thing, learn and ask God, why is it that I am being faced with this news of a lifetime? Why am I having this come into my life? I could think of a lot of things that Joseph was trying to contemplate, more things really than we could even begin to know, but four particular come to my mind. He was contemplating the confusion of it all. Do you remember last week with Mary, how confused she was because of the situation she suddenly found herself in? Listen, Joseph was confused about some things surrounding this as well. You look at this, and this was literally the confused leading the confused. You've heard the blind leading the blind. It's the confused leading the confused, because just like Mary, Joseph was very, very confused. He had just been told by Mary, who he was going to be his wife, he had just been told by Mary that Mary was going to have a baby and that the father of this child was not earthly, was not a human father, but it was by the Holy Ghost of God. Can't you imagine it, guys? We can put it in our North Georgia mountain language, can't we? Old Joseph is thinking what we would be thinking. We would be saying, I ain't never heard nothing tell just like that before. That's not the way this kind of thing works. You don't have a baby based upon the conception of the Holy Ghost of God. We can understand to a certain degree why that there was a little bit of trouble here. We can understand why that he was confused about this. Because while Joseph, as we will learn in a moment, he was a good man. He was a just man. He fully understood that this was not how that kind of thing worked. And on the surface, he was thinking to himself, hey, Mary has been unfaithful to me. Something is not right about this situation. And so he was contemplating all of this confusion. But because he was so confused, his contemplation then moved to Mary's character. He began contemplating her character. Now, we learned last week that the character of Mary had been under the microscope of heaven for a long time. From the moment that she had been born, God had been looking at the character of Mary to make sure that this woman met with the character that needed to be the mother of the Messiah. And so what we are finding here is the character of Joseph as well had been under the microscope. See, the bottom line of this is character is what drew Joseph to Mary. That's one of the primary things that Joseph loved the most about Mary. Joseph was thinking to himself, my goodness, I've known this girl my whole life. I did not see this coming. This news of her character does not match with her character. How could I have missed this so badly? How could I have been fooled so very much? And if this is really true, what else is Mary really lying to me about? There's a lot that is going through old Joseph's mind. He is contemplating the confusion. He is contemplating her character. He's also contemplating the consequences as well. Now, I want you to wrap your mind around this. When we read verse number 18, we are told by the Scripture and we're given the idea that they were espoused, meaning engaged, right? Does it mean that? And then in verse number 19, it says her husband, just a few words later. Which one was it? Were they engaged? Or were they actually married? Because when you come to this situation, that makes all the difference. Were they engaged or were they actually married? Well, to wrap our minds around that, we need to know a little bit about the Jewish order of marriage. And in the Jewish order of marriage, did you know that there were three stages? Let me give you something here so you can defend your Bible when people begin to question it. Think with me, first of all, the first stage was the engagement stage. They had an engagement period. Now, this was often prearranged by the parents. And in many cases, it was prearranged by the parents in such a way that the boy and the girl that were to be the bride and the groom, they didn't even know about. They didn't know who their next spouse was going to be because it was arranged in advance by the parents. Furthermore, it was a binding contract. When this agreement was made by the parents for the kids, it was a binding contract. And so Jewish parents in their day, they felt that choosing the spouse of their children was not to be left to the mental, the emotional, and the physical immaturity of the youth. Now, the more and more I live, Brother Blake, you've got what, $15, $20? You've got five of them. The more and more I live, the more and more I'm thinking the Jews had something going on right here, okay? To be able to pick your own child spouse, right? Because parents get concerned about that kind of thing, don't they? Well, that's the engagement stage or step of it. But then it moved to the betrothal stage of it. Now, this betrothal, this was about a one-year time period. It was to let the engaged couple get to know one another a little bit better. And in this particular stage, they were regarded as husband and wife. As a matter of fact, the only way that they could even get out of it, even in the betrothal stage, is by a bill of divorce that had been written. And then following that, you had the actual marriage. That is the third stage. After the one-year period had passed, they had the marriage ceremony, and that was followed by the consummation of the marriage. Now, I give you all that information not only so you can understand your Bible just a little bit more, but because I want you to understand what stage Mary and Joseph Joseph were in. They were in the second stage of this, of the marriage process of Jewish tradition, which was the betrothal. Now, in the betrothal stage, it was absolutely prohibited to have any form of physical relationship whatsoever. And so, therefore, when a young lady came up and was with child, they were automatically labeled an adulterer. And do you know what the sentence of adultery came with in that day? It came with death. And so Joseph is trying to process all of this in his mind. He is trying to contemplate, my goodness, how am I going to handle this? Because while I do not understand some things that are going on, I do love this girl, and I'm praying about this. I'm working my way through this. I'm contemplating it all because I don't want to see happen to her what society is going to do to her. He is processing and contemplating all of these different things. But then he was also contemplating as well the companionship. This woman, Mary, he had built his whole future upon her. There was nobody else. There was that binding contract. He wanted Mary. Mary wanted him. But now he's looking at this situation and he is not seeing any way possible that he could move forward. Have you ever looked at your wife or at your husband, whatever it might be, and have you ever wondered, because of the mess that we find ourselves in right now, how in the world are we ever going to be able to move forward? I don't see a way that God's ever going to be able to use our life. I don't see a way that God is ever going to be able to put the broken pieces of the world that we have made back together again. I don't understand it. I don't know how God is going to do it. I'm confused about it. I'm contemplating about it. And I want my companionship with the girl that I love or the boy that I love. But I just don't know how we're going to be able to move forward. Can you see what Joseph is dealing with here? I mean, the total confusion, the contemplation, the difficulty of everything that was involved. But there wasn't only the contemplation, but then there was the conclusion as well we need to know. What was the decision that Joseph made? How was he going to respond to all of this? Now, verse 19, it actually says that Joseph, underscore this in your Bible, it says that he was a just man, meaning that he was a righteous man, meaning that this man, Joseph, he wanted with all of his heart to do what was right, no matter what it cost him. No matter what it was going to, where it was going to take him, what he was going to have to do, he wanted with all of his heart to do what was right. Mary was a young lady of character. We learned that last week. Joseph was a young man of character. We're learning that today. I'm telling you, friends, that when character meets character, God is about to do something special. Young ladies and young men one day that are seeking marriage, I want to tell you that's why you look for a young man or a young lady of character, because when you meet somebody of character and character meets character, God's about to shake the world. God's about to change everything. And that's what happened with Joseph and Mary. You see, the parents of Mary and Joseph, I want to preach a sermon, a series sermon or something of that nature one day on this. The parents of Christmas, meaning the parents of Mary and Joseph, they were careful in who they selected for their child to marry. In other words, they looked for the character of God. They didn't look for the one that had the most money, the one that had the most potential. They didn't look for the one that had the greatest education, the greatest charismatic personality. They looked for somebody that loved God. They looked for somebody that was going to be able to take the hand of their daughter or their son and carry them on to greater heights for God. The parents of Mary and Joseph built their entire lives around the character of God for their children. Verse number 19, not willing, the Bible declares, to make her a public example, was mindful to put her away privately. I told you in our beginning that word privately, it speaks of secretly. The Christmas secret is what we are talking about. Now, I don't want you to miss these words. We see these words, put her away privately. Many of us have never studied those words, and we don't understand really what the Bible is trying to convey to us. But to make a long story, maybe just a little bit shorter, these words are actually pointing to the fact that old Joseph, he was about to give Mary a bill of divorce. Did you know that? Joseph was about to give Mary a bill of divorce. Because though he did not believe that she could have been guilty of unfaithfulness, of immorality, adultery, he also could not believe the story that she was telling him about how this child, what would be Jesus, was actually conceived. Now, believe it or not, Joseph was trying to do what was right. He wanted to do what was right. He was thinking about all of these things. He was contemplating all that was going on. He was trying to figure it out. He was trying to do what was right based off what the old law had told him in Deuteronomy 24 and verse 1 that spoke of uncleanness and unfaithfulness. It said, give her a bill of divorcement. And so he chose to do this privately, secretly, before the news got out publicly. And it was going to destroy everything having to do with Mary and potentially even her own life. Joseph now had the Christmas secret of all of the ages. And how he kept this secret was a life or a death matter. Now, I don't want anybody to miss the principle here. We'll tie it all together in a minute. But don't miss the principle here. When you have been entrusted with a secret, I don't care how great it is or how small it may be in your opinion or your mind, but when you have been entrusted with a secret, unless there is an ethical problem or legalities involved, you better keep that secret. Somebody trusted you with it. Nobody knows how to keep secrets anymore. Did you know that? Nobody does. Even if they won't come directly out and say it, they will give the impression, I know something you don't know. And they'll drop these little hints. We've got to go do this. We've got to go do that. And they'll give prayer requests of this and prayer requests of that. And trying their best just to let somebody know, I know something that you don't know. There's a whole other issue that we could discuss right there. I like what Thomas Carlyle had to say about it. He said, he who has a secret should not only hide it, but hide that he has it to hide. That's good advice. If somebody trusts you with a secret having to do with their lives, don't go run out and share that secret. The time will come when the secret can come out, as we'll see. But when they have a secret, you have a secret that's going to affect somebody else's life, learn to keep that secret. Build trust with other people as well. As long as there are not immoralities that are going on in any form with it, it is perfectly appropriate to have some secrets. Did you know that? God Himself has secrets. The Bible word is mysteries. You'll find it all through the Scripture. God has some secrets, and unless there's some form of sin that is being covered up, as I mentioned a moment ago, ethics or legalities that are involved, you better make sure that you keep those secrets. Why? Because the way that we keep our secrets has everything to do with the display of the character of God upon our very own lives. God knew that He could trust the character of Joseph, so He entrusted him with a secret. You see, the people that God uses in a big way are people whose character runs so deep, God knows He can trust you with the biggest secrets of life, the biggest secrets of your home, the biggest secrets of whatever it might be. Those are people of character. Joseph, he is contemplating all of these things, and we learn that it was a secret with difficult contemplation. Secondly, write it down. It was a secret with divine confirmation. I like this. You see, as mentioned, nobody knows how to keep a secret anymore. You want to know what the difference is between private enterprise and government? There is a difference. Goodness, there's a lot of difference. But one of the key differences is private enterprise has figured out how to keep some secrets. Government hasn't. The difference between private enterprise and government is the formula of Coca-Cola and Kentucky Fried Chicken is still a secret. But if you want to make a hydrogen bomb, it's on the front page of the newspaper. You need to learn how to keep a secret. It's evident that Joseph knew how to keep a secret. As a matter of fact, Joseph was so blessed good at keeping a secret that it took divine intervention. It took a divine visitation, a visitation from heaven to confirm to him that this was true and to give him guidance on where he needed to go next, having to do with this secret of his life. We see this given to us, first of all, in what I am going to call the appearance. And we see that in verse number 20. But while he thought on these things, now I want you to keep that in your mind. While he is thinking on these things, he is a righteous man desiring to do what is right. He is in the presence of God and he is trying to pray his way through it, search his way through what the next step of life is to be. He is looking for the answers. He's right in line. He's in tune with God. And do you know what happens when you really get in tune with God? Here it is. That's when the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. You will never find the will of God, the direction for God, for the secrets that are going on in your life. And there's secrets all across this building today. And you will never find the direction for the secrets of your life until you are dwelling, contemplating, searching your way through them. That's when God will appear to you. That's when God will show himself to you. That's when God will give you direction and evidence on how you need to handle the secret of the news of your lifetime. Now we read these words. The Bible says right here, appeared unto him, Joseph, in a dream. Now listen to me. I've been wanting for a long time to deal with something here. Let me just go ahead and try to do it right now. God can do whatever he wants, amen. He can do it whenever he wants, wherever he wants, however he wants. You and I have no right to question that. He's God. He is in charge and he can do it. But listen very, very carefully. It is a rare thing that God will operate under dreams anymore. That's not how God works in our day today. There was a certain age when God would work that way, but that's not how God works anymore. If you are living with a secret in your life, and again, most of us here today have some form of a secret, and if you are living with some type of a secret in your life, and you're facing a decision, a direction of what to do, do not base any of that off of a dream that you may have. Don't base any of those things off of something that you are going to connect based off of a dream, and you're given the perception in your very own mind that God has given you confirmation of a direction that you need to go. No. If you have a dream when you're trying to house a secret in your life, be careful how you handle that. You will get out of the will of God in a hurry. I've known people through the years, and I bet you have too. They have had some type of dream. They were faced a situation in their life. They had some secrets in life. And then they had some type of a dream, and they began to contemplate that dream, and they began to, in an inappropriate, inaccurate, scriptural way, connect some dots to some things that they thought were applicable to their situation. And they got themselves out of the will of God in a hurry. That is not how God works in our age anymore. Those things have all changed. They've all ceased. Those very same people, by the way, they will tell you straight to your face that they do not have a daily diet in the Word of God. They do not have a meaningful prayer life. They are not faithful in their attendance to the house of God. They have no witness for the Lord, but they say, God spoke to me in a dream. That may come from having too much Los Guerreros on a Saturday night before you went to bed. That has nothing to do whatsoever with God. Listen to me and look at me right now. It is a trap of the devil. God's means of communicating to his people and confirming things to people in our day, it is through the written word of God. It is through prayer on your knees before God. It is through the preaching of the word of God. And it is through godly counsel from the Bible. That's how you will get direction in your life. Now you've got to remember, Joseph was a just man. He was a righteous man. He was a man that studied and he knew the old law, the word of God. He was a man who wanted to do what was right. So again, while he thought on those things, while he was in tune and in line with God, that's when God came to him. And that's when God gave him confirmation in the way that God worked in that day. And that was through a dream. You see it all through the Christmas story. Now, let me say to those of us today that we are living with a secret. And I assure you, many or most of us are. There's a secret in your life. There's something that you're struggling with. You don't want anybody else to know about it. I want to reiterate this again. Do not rely on some dream. human signs, human understanding or resources or emotions to give you direction in what you are to do next. Get on your face alone before God. Get in the Bible. Call out to Him. Seek godly biblical counsel. God will help you, but don't rely on your emotions. Our emotions will take us the wrong way every time. This Bible will never take us the wrong way. There was the appearance that led to the assurance, didn't it? We are learning that in the Scriptures. Pick it up with me as well. We'll actually can call that the assurance or the approval. Look at verse number 20. The Bible says, "But while he thought on these things, Joseph was in tune with God. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." I want to preach something there so bad, but I'm going to skip over it and come back to it another day. But look at verse number 21. "She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins." Now we notice that the angel of God, which by the way is believed to have been none other than the second person in the Godhead himself, he calls Joseph right here the son of David. That's very important. For you see, when Joseph heard those words, the son of David, Joseph began to connect the dots together. He understood what that meant. He understood that the angel was talking about that royal dynasty that would one day be ultimately fulfilled through the very Messiah himself. What a dream. This really must have been for old Joseph, because it assured him that he was on the right track. It answered all of his questions. It calmed his nerves. It calmed his spirit. It was God's way of giving him the green light, confirmation to move forward with Mary, though he knew there was going to be bumps in the road, and though he knew there were going to be some hard days ahead. God said, "Go for it. You go on with me with this secret that you're having to live with and bear." When old Joseph woke up, he realized, Brother Randy, this was more than just a dream that he had had. But this dream proved to him that the very dreams of his life were going to come true. He could still marry the woman of his dreams. He could still do it with heaven's full approval. And that's why Joseph was burdened and contemplating it, because he did not want to get out of the will of God. And he began to do it with heaven's full approval. And do you know, as a direct result of that, you and I, our dreams, they can all come true today in eternity, because they went forward with their secret of life. For those of us that are living with one of those secrets today, remember, you're going to find confirmation for whatever it is that you are dealing with. You'll find it in the Word of God. You'll find it in prayer. You'll find it through the preaching of the Word of God in the house of God, and through godly counsel, amen, biblical counsel of people. But listen to me, don't you ever move forward and seek any direction for anything in your life unless you've got heaven's full approval on it. If you don't have heaven's full approval, if you come to the crossroad and you don't know to turn right or to turn left, let me tell you, you keep going straight. If you don't know for sure what God's got, you keep going straight until God gives you full approval to make this turn or to make that turn, to make sure that you're on the right track as you are going through the journey of life. Doesn't matter how much controversy is going to come with it. You obey God. There will be hard days. There will be difficulty ahead. There will be bumps in the road. But when God gives you confirmation, when you've got heaven's full approval, you move forward and you do it for the glory of God. Joseph is living with a secret, isn't he? We've learned now that it was a secret with difficult comprehension. It was a secret with divine confirmation. Listen to me. It was thirdly and finally a secret with disclosure clarity. In other words, there came the moment when the secret could come out. You could let the secret out. Disclosure, of course, it is simply meaning the action of making news or a secret information known. And that's what happened here. The moment came when they could let it out. All was now well with Joseph. His confidence, it had been restored in Mary. His conscience, it was now clear to move forward. His contemplation, it was finally over. His confirmation had been given by God. Verse 24 says this, and I want you to look at it. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, he woke up now. He did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. He went ahead and he married Mary. I'm calling that the promise. You know, Brother James, I was going to call that the plunge. They got married. But I chose to take the high road, use the more dignified word because you know I'm so dignified. Regardless of however you want to put it, Joseph moved forward and he married Mary. He made the commitment and he made the promise. So let me stop right here again and give those married couples or anyone here one day that is contemplating marriage one day a quick point to ponder. Would you take this with a good heart? The marriage we're learning from the scripture, it could not begin or it could not move forward until all of the secrets had been cleared up. Total disclosure. The marriage could not move forward. There are so many so-called Christian marriages or those wanting to be married, maybe engaged or whatever the case may be, they are so troubled. I mean, they are on life support, it seems. It seems they can't find a way forward at all. And the reason for that is because this spouse or that spouse or both spouses, they've got so many secrets that they're just keeping. They're just hiding. They're going to keep it to themselves. They're not going to disclose it, but you listen to me. Your marriage will never move forward. Your marriage will never happen productively for the Lord until you lay it all out on the table, disclosing every secret of your life with absolute clarity. Now, if you've got a pencil or a pen, I want you to write this down. The consequences that come with disclosing your secret will be far less than the lifetime of misery that you will live for trying to keep that secret. I'll say it again. The consequences that come with disclosing your secret will be far less than the lifetime of misery you will live by trying to hide, keep your secret. Lay it all out on the table. Say, this is the way it is. I'm not perfect. I've got this past. It's not perfect. It's messed up. I've made all kinds of mistakes. I don't have it all together. Lay it out because I promise you he or she's going to learn about it. And it's going to cost you far more later on down the road than it will by you just simply being honest in the very beginning. We see the promise right here, but then there is the perseverance. Whenever you lay all the secrets out on the table, you better be prepared to persevere through some things if you're going to make it. Because you're about to be overcome with the attacks of hell itself. Every one of those arrows, it is going to come right after you. You see, Joseph going on and marrying Mary here, it not only opened Joseph up or Mary up, but it opened both of them up to a world of all kinds of controversy, criticism, cruelty, even condemnation. A world out there that did not know all the details of what was going on. They didn't understand God's big picture plan, and if they were going to succeed and do what God had given them the opportunity to do, and that had bring the Christ child, they were going to have to persevere through some things. They were going to have to fight through some things and be determined that no matter what comes, we're going to do it. We're going to see our way through every bit of it. Now, when we study this Christmas story, the story of Joseph and Mary, we learned that there was no quitting in their marriage relationship. There was nothing that was going to cause them to run the other way. There was no quitting. They both understood they had a big task ahead of them. They had to be able to bring this child into the world. Mary's part was critical, of course. Joseph's part was critical because somebody had to take the reins and protect the family. And so they said, my goodness, there's no quitting for us. We are absolutely going to move forward. And as you study the story and the secret, as the secret continued to come out, you know the marriage vows, Joseph and Mary learned that there was more worse than better. There was more poor than richer. There was more sickness than health. Life was not easy for them. As you study the life of Joseph, you'll learn that. Life was not easy for them, but they just didn't tuck tail and run. No. They came together as one. Joseph and Mary, they gathered themselves together and they said, we are having a full disclosure of all of our secrets. We are going to persevere through everything that we are going to have to fight and live or die. By the grace of God, we are putting our faith completely in the trusted hands of Almighty God. Remarkable. We'll trust the Lord to save our soul from hell, but we won't trust Him to save our marriage. We won't trust Him to save our children. We won't trust Him to pay our electric bill. We won't trust Him to give us gas to come to church. We won't trust Him for anything. Oh, but I trust Him to save my soul from hell. Really? We have got to be a people that begins to trust God. The promise. They made the promise. They followed through with it. And then there was the perseverance. But if you know the story of Christmas, then you know that there was also came the point when there was the proclamation. And now for 2,000 years, I stand here today carrying on the message that the secret is out. Jesus came. And Jesus loves you. Jesus gave everything for you. He will save your soul from hell. He will put your marriage back together. He will help your children know how to live for God. He will help them through their rebellion. He will help you to have wisdom to know how to move forward for God. So from this moment on, Mary and Joseph, they have been forever known, haven't they, of the one who carried Jesus. They were never secretive about it again. Miss Mickey, you can come onto the piano if you would. Thank you so much, sister. You know what the greatest Christmas secret is that they're likely right now in this room? Here. You know what the greatest Christmas secret is that we're holding when it comes to this world looking at our lives? It is the secret that you are a child of God. This world is looking at you today, and this world sees no semblance of God in your life. This world does not understand that you believe Him and you are an unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. There are many of us in here today that are living the Christmas secret while totally ignoring the fact Joseph and Mary let the secret out many, many years ago, and here we are. Concealing it. I mean, we are living in a world today that is not being impacted by the life of the believer. Wouldn't you agree with that? They're not being impacted by it. There are doubtless so many of us that are here and that are listening today. We're not making any difference in this world. There is no spiritual impact. Nobody in this world's life is any better because you entered their life. Nobody's really going to be in heaven one day because you were there. And we're missing it. We come to church. We've got our ties on. We've got our jackets on. We're all put together. We got our hair combed. But we're living with a secret. We're going to walk out of here and we're going to go to Food City and buy something for lunch. Or we're going to go to the restaurant. We're going to go to Walmart. We're going to go to family gatherings, and not one time are we going to bring up what Christ did for us. We're living with a Christmas secret. My challenge to every person on this Sunday morning is simply this: you have been given the news of a lifetime. Jesus came. I don't know about you, but He turned my world upside down. When I heard the news, why are we not turning the world upside down anymore? A group of this size ought to set the city of Lafayette and Walker County ablaze. But I'll tell you what the problem is. We're hung up in all the stuff, the matters of life, the politics of religion. We're hung up in the busyness of life. We're hung up with everything that totally controls us. And yet we come in to church and we act like we've got it all together. God help us to rip off the ties. God help us just to come to the point to where we say we don't care about all the stuff. I just want God. I just want this world to know that He loves them. He'll save them. The secret is out. He'll put your world back together if you'll just let Him. Stand to your feet quietly and reverently in the house of God. And maybe some of us today just need to find us a spot down here and fall down and say, "Dear God, I'm guilty. The secret, I've kept it in my life. I've not told this world that You are the Messiah, that You are the Savior. I've not told the world that You turned my life upside down. I've not done all that I could do to share Christ. I've not done my best for You. I'm living with the Christmas secret. God, I want to be right. I want to present myself right. I want to do right, but not at the cost of making everybody else think that I'm something great when in reality I'm living with the secret. I just simply want to be right with You." If the news of a lifetime truly did impact your life, if you truly have experienced it, then you'll get out and you'll make a world aware of it.